My name is David Luper. I'm a very grateful recovered alcoholic. I asked him to let me introduce Monty. He's my nephew. It's a real short story. I went up to the prisons and seen him up there at Fort Bragg. And he was the only man going to AA, and there were two men that drove each one of them every other week, 2 hours up and 2 hours back. And he was the only one at the meeting, and they showed up every week to do him, and they took him through the big book quite a bit. And when I left there, he told me that story. I cried and realized how little I really, really do. And another thing I did, I went out to the cemetery a while ago. His mother passed away about 5 or 6 years ago, sober. And I went out and talked to her, and I told her son would be speaking tonight. And this is my nephew, Monty, and I'm well proud of him. Thank you.
He's a miracle.
My name is Monty, and I'm an alcoholic, amongst other things. It's going to start off sad because he talked about my mom, and she was my everything. You know, that's what alcohol took from me. I couldn't go to her funeral. I couldn't go to her bedside and hold her hand. I couldn't do any of them things because I was so far gone in my disease of alcoholism and addiction. All right, I've been coming to AA and since about 1984, I was in my first meeting. I've known that I've had a problem with alcohol for a long, long time. I mean, who drinks a whole bottle of tequila, man, their first time, man? You know what I mean? I mean, it made me the life of the party. I was out on off of Lover's Lane with my cousin Todd and my cousin Kevin and all these guys that were older than me by like 5 years, 4 years, and I just wanted to be part of and fit in. So I felt if I drank and partied with them, I could be one of them. You know, and I'm really, truly, truly grateful to this higher power that I found finally. You know, alcohol taken everything away from me, man, everything. It's taken me to the bitter, deep, sweet pits, man, that I wouldn't recommend anybody going to. You know, my life has went from a real disruptive family, you know, growing up, you know, which I thought that was normal living, you know. I was raised where every family function, if the cops weren't called, it wasn't, something was wrong. You know what I mean? Something was wrong. You know, smacking your wife around or hurting the ones you love was normal. You know, people laugh. I mean, that's what I thought was okay. You know, so that's how I was raised. You know, partying and drinking was the thing to do. And, you know, you don't call the cops. You don't do any of that. You don't tell your teachers. You don't tell anybody that your life at home is not right. You know, that's how I was raised. So my mind at a very young age was totally twisted. Really just totally twisted. I don't know how else to explain it. You know, I've been inside and outside of juvenile hall and prisons most of my life. I'm 44 years old. I'm going to say, God willing, come December 28th, I'll have 7 years sober. You know? See, but I know that that's going to happen now because, you know, I've heard people say that they got a God-given sobriety date. And my God, my higher power of my choice, seemed fit for me to get busted on that day. All right? And he seemed fit for me to totally surrender in that cell. And that's what I did. I have never, ever in my life experienced what I experienced that day. You know, people say this, you know, sometimes you got to see a burning bush or you got to see the light come on. But you know what? That whole jail cell lit up. And my cellie's like, wow, man, what is going on? That dude was in a dead sleep. Because, you know, spiritual awakening happened that day. My life didn't start changing until about 3 years later. Because see, I had to go through this process. I had to fight my case. I was fighting a third strike. They didn't want to bust me for a drunk driving, because I was drunk. They bust me for the drugs that I had in the car. They didn't find them at first until I had a couple back surgeries, and I told the guy, be careful with me. You know, I'm kind of limping because my back was hurting. And I tripped, and then when I fell, this army jacket that I got on right here, he missed it when he patted me down, and I fell down, and the shit fell out. You know, so there I am, I'm busted. I thought for sure I was going to be able to sneak that stuff in the county jail. You know, and the party wouldn't stop. All right, but like I said, this sobriety didn't, the work in the program didn't start happening until I made it to a camp called Chamberlain High Parlor Fork. And, I was reading my book. I was trying to treat people the best that I could. But inside, you can't show a weak side. You can't show feelings. And I'm real good at hiding feelings. I'm really good at hiding them. I've been hiding them all my life. You know, I'm just a young man or a boy that wanted to be loved and told that, hey, man, it's going to be all right. Or, hey, what's wrong? Or, what's happening? Why are you failing school? Or why aren't you going to school? You know, I'm not basically stopped going to school in eighth grade, ninth grade. You know, I played a little bit of baseball and in ninth grade. Now, I went to school every day. I just didn't go to class, you know. Why? Because there was Coors Light and UConn draft to be great, you know. That's what I did. And I pounded alcohol every day my freshman and sophomore year. And mom gets this note saying, hey, why ain't you in school? What the heck? I've been dropping you off there. The bus takes you there. I'm like, well, I've been going. You know, she's like, no, you ain't been going. They said you ain't made it. You got 24 absences in every one of your classes. You know, I mean, I want to bump up. I don't want to talk about the disease. I want to talk about what has happened, the transformation into recovery. That's what I want to talk about today. How this higher power that I found helped me, man. You know, and I'm going to bounce around because my brain is really shot out. All right, because I'm dual addicted. You know, alcohol is just a symptom, okay? But alcohol is my main thing that has taken me back to what I do. Every time, because it comes hand in hand for me. I've been in 5 rehabs, completed 4 of them, okay? I've been in 3 outpatient programs, completed all of them. I've talked to psychologists. They're dumb, if you ask me. You know what I mean? I mean, they had me taking these pills that they thought I was taking, and I went in there and told them I did that for the old lady, you know, just to get her off my back. You know, I went in, oh yeah, everything's good, I'm really doing good, I'm sleeping at night, I'm not drinking no more. I just had to drink before I went down there, you know, or that morning I didn't drink until I left there, so I'd get a real early appointment, you know. And they really thought that shit was working for me, you know. Oh, we're good, you got it right the first time, yeah, ooh. I'm thinking, man, you guys are stupid, you know, but that is, you know, hard and forward this fire camp that I went to. You know, God seemed fit that, I'm such a hardened criminal that they say the society says, you know, that I have 3 strikes. I got an outside gate pass. I got to go work in a fire camp, and I got to pay back to the community. That's how I look at it. I have to go fight wildland fires. And I also found Alcoholics Anonymous, I think, for the first time in my life. I might have went to a whole lot of meetings before. But I can't say that because I think the seed got planted when I went. That's what happened. I just soon wasn't ready. You know, the right teacher finally appeared, and I became willing, and I surrendered. And the Wayne and Jerome took me through this book. You know, because I was the only one going at this meeting, man. They came every Wednesday. All right, and then the lieutenant said that they could only come every other Wednesday. You know, because I was the only one going. But they came on a regular. They drove all the way from Santa Rosa to Fort Bragg. And, they said, let's start reading the book, man. You know, since you're the only one here, why don't we just read the book? Why don't we start working on you? Let's help you get better, man. Do you want this? I'm like, man, I haven't drank or used for the first time in my life in over 3 years, man. You know, I said, well, what do you do? I said, read the book. You know, I've been trying to treat people good. You know, He said, well, first off, let's do the first step, Monty. You know, are you powerless? Is your life unmanageable? You know, I'm like, yeah. He says, I want you to write about that, and when I come back next week, I want to see what you wrote. So I did that. You know, I believe that I had to admit to my, I think that's why I never, ever could stay sober before, was because I couldn't admit to my innermost self that my life was unmanageable due to alcohol, or that I was powerless over alcohol. I thought, no disrespect, but I thought I had to be a drunk like my Uncle David. I thought that I had to be falling down drunk, raised in hell and turmoil, getting kicked out of a cop car in my grandma's front yard early in the morning, you know, stuff like that. You know, I had to be that tough guy, man. That's what I thought I had to be an alcoholic. You know, I found out that I have a disease and it can be put to rest as long as I do this, just these steps in my life. You know, and that's what Wayne and Jerome took me through, man. I came to believe in a power greater than myself. You know, then I became willing to turn my will and my life over to this higher power of my choice. You know, then the next step was I had to make this searching fearless moral inventory. You know, I thought I had to make this big old thing, and they took me through the book, and we made three columns of what the book said, and I wrote down everything that I could think that, you know. And it wasn't about other people, man. I had to find my own wrongs and what I did. And you know what? Almost all these resentments that I had towards everybody else, you know what? It was all my shit. You know, I had to let go, man. All my stuff, you know. I'm sorry if I cuss. I'm trying really hard not to cuss. This is, I'm really nervous. You know, I've been put in front of judges. I've been put in back of cop cars. The judge sent me to 8 years at 80% last time. And I was not scared like I am right now. You know what I mean? I'm serious. I am really nervous. You know? I've heard people say that when they share, they want to have weight and depth. You know what? All I can do is share from my heart and give you my story. You know? My message of what I do to stay sober every day. You know what I mean? There are so many people in this room that knew me when I was a kid, man. You know? I can't lie right now. You know what I mean? I can't pump this up. I got a buddy sitting in the back. I got friends in here that have seen me when I was a child in this program. You know? I'm a true alcoholic, man. I cannot drink and function in this world. I'll make you guys laugh really, really hard right now. I'll share a little brief, and then I'll get back to the sketch. You know, alcohol made me want to be a cop one night. You know what I mean? Yeah, let's laugh about that. I met this pretty girl. You know, in Texas, when you go to get a food, you know, working in a restaurant, you have to get a food handler's card. So I go down to 2-day course. You know, I'm looking good. I thought, you know, I got my little shirt on and stuff. I walk in this Dairy Queen and the light goes on. There she is, this pretty girl. You know, it's a packed restaurant. She's sitting all by herself. So, you know, I'm Mr. Cool. I walk up and say, excuse me, ma'am. You know, she's in Texas. You got to say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And I'm like, man, do you mind if I sit with you at this bench? I'm just going to eat this hamburger and french fries and go back to my class. Oh, sure. She said, where are you from? You sound funny. Now, I'm thinking, she sounds funny because she's from Texas. And I said, I'm from California. Well, I didn't know this lady was an undercover ATF officer, okay? So, you know, that's what alcohol does for me. It puts me in places that, man, oh, man. Well, I get her phone number. She takes my phone number. She wants to call me because I'm from California. I told her that I had a little bit of that funny shit back over, you know what I mean? I took it with me on the bus to Texas. You know, I told my dad I'm going to come out there and change my life. He says, no drugs or alcohol, period. And he works for Miller Beer, go figure. You know what I mean? Got alcohol all over the house. See, I learned today that I don't have a fear of booze at all. I go anywhere I want to go as long as I continue to stay close with my higher power and work these steps and do a 10-step every day and work with other alcoholics. That's what I do, you know. I want to do just a big shout-out to my brother that died on Wednesday night. A friend of mine, man, he died in his alcoholism and addiction, man. He found him dead in the motel room. You know, God rest his soul, Chris Burroughs. You know, by the grace of God, that would be me, man. You know, that's how I look at that. You know, we're all God's children. We're all God's flowers. You know, our higher powers flowers, and every once in a while he likes to pick one. And that's what happened. But anyway, so I'll get this phone call one day, you know, from this girl, and she told me, hey, let's get together. I'm like, sure. So we go, she picks me up, and got a really nice, nice car, and I'm thinking, first time I got in it, this is what, you know, this higher power that's been in me all this time that I didn't know was there told me, man, this girl's a cop. That's what I thought. First time I got in that car. So we drive around, and she's like, well, I can smell that stuff. You know, so we, what he wants, oh, no, but I got a friend that would like some. I'm like, oh, no. Texas, you can't mess around out here. And we got a sign that says, don't mess with Texas. Yeah, let me tell you, man, don't mess with Texas. Anyways, we do our little thing. She don't do none. About a week later, she calls me again. We're going to go out and have a couple of drinks. Woo-wee. Yeah, put some beef eaters and, you know, a little bit of kamikazes and a couple of things in me. And watch what happens. Watch out. Hold on. 10 foot tall and bulletproof. All right. We get to this bar called the Hurricane Harry's. And, oh, my goodness, man. I told her, I'm going to get the alcohol. I'll meet you, get us a booth. It was already kind of packed. It's a cowboy bar. I got on Bermuda shorts. I got on this polka dotted jacket, right? And I'm thinking, man, I'm in the wrong place. Oh, you got on cowboy hats and stuff. You know, and so I'm walking through. Well, first I go to the bar, and the bartender tells me, I told him I need a beef eater on the rocks with 2 green olives. I need a pitcher of Budweiser and a kamikaze. How about that? She said, all right. So I did this. I down the kamikaze. Take 2 swigs off that beef eater. It's gone with my 2 green olives. Sorry, I'm feeling pretty good now. So I start heading towards the table. I find her. And she poured about a half of a mug. I fill mine up. You know, I'm not alcoholic, but I can drink. You know, I down that, and I help drink this whole pitcher of beer. I want to go get some more. She's like, are you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Are you all right? She's like, man, you drank that really fast. I'm like, I'm going to get us another one. You want some more? She's like, I didn't finish the first one. You know, that's not what she told me. Oh, my God, you know. So she's looking at me like I am crazy. I really am crazy. You know, Bill talks about that in the book, man. You know, the insanity of alcoholism. You know, they want to lock him up and throw him away, and that's what they did with me, man. They locked me up because I can't function in society without alcohol and stuff in my system. I don't know how to do this. You know, but so I go get another drink at the bar, the pitcher, and all this. See, I'm one of them alcoholics that remembers everything. You know, I wish I could forget this stuff. You know what I mean? So I gotta live with every bad thing. I don't black out. You know, some people I believe you're blessed if you black out. Because then you don't have to make as many amends and stuff. You know? Yeah. Now, mine's a mile long, but, you know, Wayne showed me that most of my amends are just words. That's all they are. He told me after I did these 12 steps, man, and I did that 5th step with him, he says, all right, you're going to do 6, 7, and 8. And when you get to 9, we're just going to be willing enough to write them out. All right? And let God take care of the rest. All right? And then continue to do a 10th step. You know what I mean? And then do your 11th and 12th and help anyone you can to come to your path. No matter what. All right? And that's what I did in there. I was in prison when I did these steps. All right? Most people, I can walk up to them out here and say, hey, I'm sorry for all that shit I did. Or, hey, I'm sorry that, you know, sorry, guys. My grandfather told me a long time ago, the only words you could say, son, was the S-H-I-T word. Don't say anything else. That's what my papa told me. All right? If there's anybody I've been by saying that word, I apologize. At least I'm not saying the F word. You know? I think I'm doing very good. I love you, Oli. I've known Oli for a long time. You know, I'm bouncing around. I'm going to get back to this little story about this girl, all right? All right? Welcome. It's a good one. But Oli told me in 1998 when he seen me come back, man, he jumped in my little Ford Ranger truck. And I was going to meetings every day. I was doing both, man. I'm sick. I need as much as I can get. That's what I thought at that time. You know what I mean? I learned now that, man, what I need to do is I need to surrender and be willing and have a higher power of my understanding that can keep me safe when I run smack dab into that brick wall when there ain't nobody else around. It might hit me at 12:30 at night. It might hit me at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It might hit me right when I open my eyes. When that urge hits. And if I don't have a program or some tools to use, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to be drunk again. I'm going to get that six-pack of Coors Light, and I'm going to be off and running. That's what happens. You know? But see, if I surrender every morning, like I do, I try to surrender every day. I try to turn my will and my life over this total understanding higher power that I've found. And things get pretty good. I like to take people's inventories today. I can't say I don't. Because I tell you what, I want to hang around with the winners, man. I want to hang around with people that walk what they talk and do what they say. You know? It ain't all about look good, man. That ain't what it's about. I run with the hardest ones. I ran with the toughest, the most meanest people most of my life. You know, and I don't want to be part of that crowd no more. You know, a real man to me is a man that stays out here and does this. That stays in that rehab, man, and learns. Stays in that rehab and then comes and starts working a program. You know, because in rehab what they tell you when you're done is go to AA. That's what they tell you when you're done. You know, go to AA, man. What I suggest, man, what I do, is I'm part of this hub now. That's what I call it. I'm part of this hub. You know? I hang around with the winners, man. I hang around with people that go to meetings every day down there. You know, that's who I hang around with. I live with some people, one's got 19 years, other one's got 22 years. And that's what they live, what they talk, man. You know? I've been by the trailer for my uncle and I still ain't moved in. I got it over here parked in my boss's shop. I'm nervous on living alone. Because you know, when I'm in there in that trailer by myself, what am I with? I'm with a killer. I'm with this thing right here all by myself. And my sponsor told me, Dave, like, look, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, Monty, you know, you don't got to worry about that. You know? They cook really good. That's why I don't want to move in that trailer. Yeah, let's keep it real. They cook real good. For $300 a month, I get room and food. And good conversation. You know, and two dogs that love me to death. You know, but let's go back to that grill, alright? Alright. Yeah. So anyways, this girl, I can't remember her name, you know, it was a while back. This was in 1994, alright? And so anyways, we go out for the second time, we're at Hurricane Harry, and I'm up to the bar getting a second pitcher of beer, beef eaters, and a kamikaze, and the bartender wants to buy me a drink on top of that stuff. So I'm like, alright. So, you know, so I gave her a tip, you know, $5 after I paid for it, so she gave me this drink, and she said, I said, well, smell like punch. I said, well, how do you drink it? She says, down it. So I down it. I'm like, ooh, that was good. What do you call that? She says, that's called a screaming orgasm. I'm like, how? Hey, she slides me her phone number, you know, wait, right on. So, I get back to the table. I get back to the table, and I'm pretty drunk. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm starting to, you know, see double. You know, so that's pretty good. You know, when you start seeing double, man. You know. But the seat's got a drama around my date. I'm like, oh no, what the heck? That's why I'm talking to myself in my brain. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, excuse me, sir. Is that your wife? So I got the right table. You know, I'm feeling pretty good. This girl's just looking at me because I think she's, you know, I didn't know she was undercover agent of mine. Okay? I don't know that. But she's looking at me like, I'm like, is she your sister? So now I'm getting a little bit louder, a little bit stronger, and a little bit taller. You know? And I'm like, Is she your sister? Is she your girlfriend? She must be your mother. He's like, no, sir. I said, man, I'm from California. What you're doing right now is total disrespect. If you take your arm, I said it a lot ruder than that. And he took his arm off and I pushed him. He says, you better chill out or I'll place you under arrest, sir. I'm drunk. I'm really drunk. I said, well, you can't judge me. I'm undercover from California, badge number 209. Hey, that's our area code for those of you don't know. It used to be our area code, you know, so it would have been 559 at this time, you know. But, hey, this guy said, I apologize, sir. Sorry. And he leaves. I told her, I showed him, didn't I? You know what I mean? Hey, this girl's awesome. She don't say a word. Well, I thought he meant placing her under citizen's arrest. That's what I'm thinking. So I just thought I'd turn around to him and scare her. Well, she ain't said a word now. We've only been there for about an hour at the most. I'm blitzed. All of a sudden, I see this guy leading a pack of cops. I never seen that many cops in my life. When they busted me on the 99 freeway this time, they got me where I'm at today. Thank you guys for putting them handcuffs on me. There wasn't that many cops there that day. When they pulled me over the 99 freeway, there was only 8 of them. This time, there was like 15. And this guy's leading the pack. He's undercover ATF, too. Oh, my goodness. Well, they arrested me for impersonating a public servant. PI. You don't know what PI is, that's public intoxication. You know, that's what alcohol does for me, makes me want to be a cop. Yeah. Some of you guys in here know that ain't true, huh? Anyways, so that's what happened. Well, let me tell you, I never heard from that girl again. Now all this stuff starts happening. They get me down to the jail cell. Well, no, first of all, I went outside and tried to call my brother. Because when I seen him, I'm like, I jammed in the bathroom, took my shirt off, that jacket off, and I got on a slingshot with emitter shorts. And everybody else got on Wranglers and cowboy hats. I'm real easy to find. But I'm thinking I'm hiding. But I go outside and all these cops now they're coming this way. So there's a phone booth. I get in there and close the door. I dial it down the number and stuff. These cops are all looking and stuff. I can see all this. I'm like, oh my God. What's happening? Yeah, oh my God. You know, them cries when you don't really mean it. You know what I mean? I call my baby brother JB. I said, hey bro, come and get me. The cops are everywhere. He's like, what have you done? I said, I don't know. I ain't done nothing, you know what I mean? Well, he pulls up out there and I try to make it to the car. Nah, I didn't make it. That guy in commuter shorts and a slingshot. My polka dot jacket was in the bathroom, so they arrested me. They take me down there. Now, this is embarrassing for my family because my dad has been working for Miller Beer for years. He knows, he's area manager. He knows everybody in Holly Station, Myers, Texas. Because he drops off the alcohol, sets up the displays. And then Marco Maxey, the Department of Public Safety officer, well-decorated. So in my drunken state, I'm thinking, he can help me. You know what I mean? All right, so they get me down to the station. But I'm not going to tell them who I am right now. I'm going to play the sub guy for you to find out. Well, back when I was about 11 years old, an incident happened in College Station, Texas. Right? Somebody come to the... Oh, no, I was about 12, I think. 12, 13 almost. I had a girlfriend that was my swimming pool friend, and her brother showed up at our house, brandishing a knife, so that my dad and I were real big game hunters. I go get the 30-odd stage with a scope. I pointed out the window at the guy and told him to get off my property. He showed a knife. Okay? Old cops come. Whew. Well, these people, the cops got me in the jail cell now. I told him my name was Scott Staples. That's my brother. He's in the military. So I told him I was a Marine and all this stuff. And they're not buying it. They said, we think you're Monty Staples. And we had an incident. They pulled this up from years ago. Alright, finally I admit that's who I am, and I saw Matthew Ward as my uncle. And the cop said, no, he ain't. No, he ain't. I know his brother Jim, and believe me, Jim Staples, your last name Staples. It rings a bell. He says, what call? I said, call Matthew up. Matthew's like, awesome. He's like, Matthew, save you, buddy. We're going to drop all charges. We're going to hold you for 8 hours. Well, first of all, I was only charged with GI, all right? About 2 hours later, while I'm sitting in there detoxing, these two undercover ATF officers show up and they press formal charges on me for impersonating a public servant. All right, in Texas, that carries up to 10 years. All right, and when I went in front of that judge, they wouldn't let me out. That judge called me the California kid and told me that, don't mess with Texas, son. You're going to jail for a long time. I fought that. I fought it. They didn't have no AA in there. They didn't have nothing like that. You know, I started working. The jailer in there told me, befriended him. I'm a hard worker. He got me a job right when I spent 4.5 months in jail. Got out, blah, 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 okay? My dad's like, you're not drinking no more. Okay, no problem. If alcohol makes me want to be a cop, I'm not touching that shit no more. That's what I told him. Anyway, back to the steps, man. Let's go back to the steps, right? I did this fourth and fifth step, man. My whole life changed then. Six, man, I became willing to change my whole, you know, just become willing. Seven and eight, you know, I did these little things. I made this list of people that I had harmed. You know what I mean? All right, and then the ninth step, I can't make the recommendations to such people wherever possible. You know, I had to do it through, like, a letter with him, and we tore it up, and with God. You know? Because most of my amends, I just can't say I'm sorry, man. You know, people are tired of this with me. And I was reading a book earlier today, you know, when it was talking about how, you know, it's real easy to connect with another alcoholic. You know, it's real easy to win them over. But, you know, the ex-old lady or, you know, people that you harmed, you know, or maybe somebody hurt in a car wreck or, you know, people ain't so quick to forgive, man. You know what I mean? So it might cause more damage than it's worth. So what I do with mine right now is, I just wrote it all down. I shared it with this guy, Wayne, and the man drove 2 hours to come see me. That was how I got my visits. You know, and I got to read the book of Alcoholics Anonymous for the first time in my life. You know, and my whole life started changing in 2010. And all my friends in there, you know, my last time I was in like 21 fights. Alright? 21 fights, man, in 4 years. Alright, that's a lot of fights. I can honestly say that in the last 7 years, I've only been in one fight. You know, and it was over a card game. You know, he hit me first and I beat the heck out of him. You know, I don't have to live that way no more. I found that today, that my life has to help people, man. It's, and to be kind, loving, and try to be tolerant of other people. You know, I have to love people. I don't have to like everybody. You know, I try to listen to the message, not the messenger. You know, I'm all over the place right now. But I tell you what, I know that I have found something this time that I never have ever experienced. And you know what I found is I found a higher power that is working in my life on a daily. I've got some really, really good friends in my life today that truly care about me. You know, they call me on a regular. They send me little prayers on my phone. My sponsor talks to me, sends me little messages. You know, stuff like that. And I surround myself amongst winners. You know, I want to congratulate everybody that took chips tonight. You know, because one day sober is a miracle. You know, one day sober is a miracle. You know, one day off of whatever is your problem is a miracle. If you're new, man, I mean, I used to think this is the most stupidest thing, man, when I first got here. Keep coming back no matter what. Don't leave until the miracle happens. You know? Be part of, get involved, read the book. It's there for a reason. there's answers inside her. She just doesn't know how to live our life. You know? I wrote a letter to the prison system. It's completed my goodbyes to the CDC system. 17 years I've been in there. It's a long time. I don't never have to spend another day in there again. I've had handcuffs on me since I got out. I got pulled over one night. Black attack. They were coming directly at me with their high beams on. I cleaned my lights to tell them to turn their lights off. It was black attack. They pulled over. They didn't have to turn their sirens on because as soon as they took a U-turn, I just pulled over. I know they're going to pull me over. And they get me out of the car, cuff me up, pat me down, put my wallet on, look in there. There's $1,800. He's like, see, I know you're doing the same thing. I said, well, maybe I just got out. I got $1,000 check, and I just got paid for the first time. Maybe I got a job and I'm working. They didn't want to hear none of that. They tore my car up, ran the dogs to it, and told me to keep up the good work. You know what I mean? You know what? If I'd have been drunk or doing my thing, I would have got cuffs put on me again. You know? I mean, I wouldn't have got them taken off. You know? And you know what the trip is? My job, the guy that works with me, is his brother. And this guy's trying to get sober, man. And he talks to me every day. You know, and I gave him a book. I bought him a book, and you know, we read a little bit. You know, he's struggling. He's just like me, man. He don't know how to do this alone. He don't know how to do it. I told him, you can't do it yourself. You gotta have help. You gotta have help. You know? If you're in a rehab, stay there as long as you can stay there. Get as much out of it as you can. I mean, it'll change your life. Nobody's ever got to spend another day in jail. But I guarantee you this, if you drink, you'll go back. I mean, that's what I'll do. I mean, I'm deeply indebted to this program. You know, I got family members that, you know, you know, hardcore big book covers, or, you know, hardcore this and that. You know, but, you know, they taught me a lot. They got some stuff that I want, so I've learned now that I take what I need, and I get rid of the garbage. That's what I do. You know, some stuff that they got, I want. Some stuff they got, I don't want no part of. I mean, that's the truth. Just like some stuff I got, they don't want no part of what I got. But this is what it's about, is one alcoholic helping another. Our singleness purpose is to carry the message to the alcoholic that still suffers, period. Inside and outside these rooms. That's what I gotta do in order to stay sober. Love God, love God, and let Him live, you know, help me direct my life. Surrender to me is combining my will and God's will together, and let Him be the driver of my car. That's surrender. Okay? And not walking around here telling everybody, I just got out, I'm from the penitentiary. Man, any lame can walk a prison guard. Trust me. I've seen them. Anybody can do that. It takes a real man to stay out here, pay your bills, and be a productive member in this society. I'm making child support payments. My daughter just turned 8 years old. I've been out for almost 4 months. I've made 3.5 child support payments. You know? I don't even miss the money out of my check. They take it every week now. You know? I don't mean to put mom's business on the street, but she called me up the other day and said, oh, it's not this much. I'm not saying they've been taking it. You know what I mean? It's out of my hands now. They're attacking my check. The lady called me that I don't have to go down and make a payment no more, that they're going to draw it out of my check every week. So why are you calling me about it? You know what I mean? I didn't say that. I told her I would look into it. I got to be nice. Sometimes it's really hard to be nice. People push you up against a wall. You know, sometimes people want to see that other side of you again. So what do? I remove myself away from them people. That's what I do. It's real easy to say that I do this and do that and up here. You know what I mean? go to a restaurant and see how I act. All right, with the waiter. I had an incident happen today and give me my grilled onions. You know? All right, serious. You want to talk about, you know, walking the walk and doing the talk. You know, they didn't give you your grilled onions. You know? Am I supposed to blow up about it? I'll tell you what, 7 years ago, that waiter would have wished I hadn't been sitting there. You know what I mean? He probably would have shit all over the food they brought. You know? I wonder how many times he did that because I was so rude to him. I never thought about that before. You know, but anyways, my name's Mario. I'm an alcoholic. Thanks for having me.